You're listening to the Body Pros podcast coverage of CROI 2009, the 16th Conference on Retroviruses and Opportunistic Infections. The conference took place in Montreal, Canada, from February 8th through February 11th, 2009.
In this study summary, Elizabeth Stringer of the University of Alabama at Birmingham discusses a multi-country cohort analysis of the impact of hormonal contraception on HIV disease progression. After the discussion, Dr. Stringer will take questions.
As a way of background, there are about 15 million women worldwide who are HIV infected. Most of these women are in childbearing age years and they need access to contraception. There are estimated to be 100 million women using hormonal contraception worldwide. Two studies have suggested that hormonal contraception may accelerate HIV disease progression. One was a cohort study in Mombasa, Kenya, and one was a randomized trial we did in Zambia, but these were not the primary outcomes of those two studies. So the purpose of our study that I'm presenting today was to look at the impact of hormonal contraception on HIV disease progression. And we looked at data from the MTCT Plus cohort. MTCT Plus was conducted in 14 sites around Africa and Thailand. It was a treatment program for HIV that was implemented before governments scaled up their national programs. So we looked at over 4,000 women in the cohort, and they were enrolled between 2002 and followed through 2008. We looked at three different exposures. There was a non-hormonal or no hormonal exposure group. These women either used no contraception or a non-hormonal method, such as IUD, lactational amenorrhea, condoms. Then we looked at two different hormonal contraceptive groups. One was called progesterone only. This included women using an implant or injectable contraception. And then there was the combined estrogen and progesterone group, which was women using oral contraceptive pills. We defined HIV disease progression as either becoming eligible for ART or death. And then we performed a variety of analysis looking at the different methods of hormonal contraception on the impact of HIV disease progression. We performed both crude analysis and multivariable analysis where we controlled for baseline WHO stage, age, parity, CD4 count, BMI, and a host of other things. In none of those analyses did we see a correlation between hormonal contraception and HIV disease progression. We also controlled for site in those multivariable analyses. When we looked at the individual sites in this outcome, we saw a similar thing. Hormonal contraception did not appear to impact HIV disease progression. In conclusion, in this analysis, which is a large cohort analysis, hormonal contraception appears to be safe in HIV-infected women, but we still believe that more research needs to be done in this area.
Dr. Stringer, I'm interested to know, this is a largely international population, I think. What proportion were on heart? What's the interaction with hormonal contraception and heart? Can this be applied? Is this something that we should be thinking about in North America and Europe as well as in the developing world?
For this analysis, women on heart were excluded from the analysis. So we only looked at women who were ART naive, and then we looked at their becoming eligible for ART, and in the MTCT Plus cohort, ARVs were provided free. So all the women who became eligible were started on ART. So I think that is maybe the more interesting population to look at this in. And it's still yet to be determined if there is an impact of hormonal contraception on HIV disease progression. I think that the data that we saw presented a couple of days ago on immune activation, there could be an interaction there between hormonal contraception and immune activation, although this hasn't really been explained in great detail.
And I also have a question of just whether you had any finer measures of disease progression than just progression to death or to eligibility.
Across the board in the MTCT Plus sites, viral load monitoring was not available, so we don't have viral loads looking at the impact there.
The opinions expressed by hosts or interviewees in this podcast do not constitute professional advice, should not be considered substitutes for professional services, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of Body Health Resources Corporation or its sponsors. Please see the full disclaimer online at thebodypro.com. If you have comments or questions, please contact us.
Thank you for listening to this report from CROI 2009. For more coverage of this conference, visit us online at thebodypro.com/CROI2009.